Fresh Air with Terry Gross coming up at noon right here on KPCC. Today's guest, Scott Carlson, senior writer at the Chronicle of Higher Education. You'll be looking at the coronavirus challenges for colleges, students, and parents. That's Fresh Air with Terry Gross coming up next on KPCC. You know, you can get a robot to keep your lonely grandparents company. The question is, should you? That's the title as well of the latest piece for Vox writer Sigal Samuel, who joins us to talk about the availability of companion robots for older Americans. Sigal, thank you for being with us.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for having me.
So you study or write about artificial intelligence and all. How new are these robots? Or are these ones that are just getting more attention because of the lack of social contact during the pandemic?
They're definitely getting more attention now because of the pandemic, but they've been around for a few years. There's really a couple different categories of these robots. I'd say the first category is robots that are designed to keep you company, and they might come in the form of cute animals. They might be shaped like dogs or cats, or they might be more humanoid and talk to you in English. And then some of them are more about personal care. So they are robots that will actually bathe you or lift you out of a bed and into a wheelchair, for example.
And how have people taken to this? What sort of response do people have to being cared for by a robot?
I would say it really varies. Some people are quite hesitant about it. Some people even raise concerns that it's sort of demeaning to have a robot kind of move you around as if you're a lump of clay. But some people really like it and, in fact, feel more comfortable having a robot, let's say, bathe them or take them to the bathroom than a human because they might be more embarrassed if it's a person.
Is the technology at the point where the robot can perform the function without a human supervisor, or does there have to be an overseer for safety purposes?
So far as I've seen, the ones that are doing personal care, like bathing you, for example, are overseen by a person. But they're just sort of taking the manual labor off the shoulders of, say, the nurse who would ordinarily be doing that. The ones that are more about just giving you company, for that, that robot and the senior can be alone in a room, and that's all well and good.
I'd love to hear from listeners what you think about this idea. Maybe you're someone who has one of these robot companions or has experienced a robot that performs some caregiving functions. What do you think about it? If it's something you've contemplated for an older family member or friend for whom you're responsible, I'd like to hear what you think. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. On our page, we have a photo of a human-looking robot, or semi-human, I guess you would say. Looks like in an assisted living, a retirement center, and one of the residents there with a hand on the shoulder of the robot, very friendly in the interaction there. And the robot has a little tablet screen across the front of itself, I guess, so allowing interaction of the resident with the robot. 866-893-KPECC. The resident looks very happy in the photo that we have on our page, Sigal. I wonder, though, if this is a tough sell for some older folks in the beginning.
Yeah, it really is. You know, when I was writing this article for Vox, I interviewed a 90-year-old woman named Mabel LaRuzic, who lives in upstate New York, and she now has a dog robot, a robotic puppy, who she's named Lucky. And she really, really loves this dog now, and she calls it my baby, and she hugs it and kisses it and tucks it into bed at night, and she's very fond of it and says it gives her great company. But at the beginning, she really had to be convinced by her granddaughter to get this robot because she thought it was a little weird, a little out there. But now that she has it, she actually really likes it.
And do you expect, or as she said, whether she relates to it as though it was a living thing?
She does. She knows. She's fully aware that it's not a real dog. But I think there's, you know, what you might call a willing suspension of disbelief. She's sort of play-acting with it as if it is a real dog, you know, so she'll talk to it and she'll She'll say, hey, Lucky, do you want some food or something like that? Even though, of course, she knows it's not real. And I think, to be honest, it's not all that different from what you and I regularly do with our pets. I think humans often project onto their pets a lot of cognition and emotional capacities that they might not necessarily have, but we feel okay projecting that onto them. And I think in some ways, this maybe isn't all that different.
Well, I wonder if this is kind of like a sex toy also for someone who has a difficult time being intimate with other humans, that the doll becomes the way of expression. And I wonder if this is similar in the same way that the pet is a mechanical pet.
That's really interesting. I had not thought of that comparison. But yeah, I think for some people, it does work that way. Some people who might have, let's say, social anxiety or for whatever reason don't feel comfortable disclosing their inner secrets to a person, studies have found that sometimes they will disclose their inner secrets to a robot.
We're talking with Sigal Samuel of Vox. Her most recent piece, You Can Get a Robot to Keep Your Lonely Grandparents Company, Should You? And that's what I'd like to hear from you, is what would you think about this, a companion robot? Maybe it's in the form of a dog or a cute little seal or some other sort of an animal, or in the form of a human being. What do you think? Also, this other category of robots being used in caregiving, 866-893-KPCC or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. We'll be back in a minute. Bill in the San Gabriel Valley on the AirTalk page says, this reminds me of the Twilight Zone episode, The Lonely, with Jack Warren, I think it means Warden, is a prisoner in solitary confinement on an asteroid, and a very young Jean Marsh as his robot companion. Bill, I remember that episode, and it was quite poignant, as a matter of fact. 866-893-KPECC. Squid GoPro writes on the page, I've seen some help for robots for care issues, but robots are substantially more expensive than just hiring help, and their robot skills are quite limited. My parents stayed in their home and enjoyed it, had no reason to move out. My dad might have liked a robot, but still liked personal company. Mom wouldn't have done well with a robot. She needed real people that appreciated her. That's Squid writing on the AirTalk page at kpecc.org. With me is Sigal Samuel, staff writer for Vox, writing about robots, particularly in the ability of interfacing with older Americans. Sigal, the comment from Squid, it makes a lot of sense to me. It could even be different within elderly couples as to their level of comfort with this.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, I think that listener raised a really good point, which is, in a lot of ways, human contact is already in danger of becoming a luxury good as we are creating robots to do the work of people more cheaply than people can do it. And these robots are getting cheaper as time goes on. So there is a hazard here that, as we get robots to take on more and more caregiving duties, that could mean reducing seniors' level of human contact even more. And, for many seniors, that's not a good thing, because interacting with a robot will feel less authentic than interacting with a human, because they know the robot's thoughts or whatever they say, there aren't real feelings behind it.
Doris in the Carthay Circle neighborhood said, I'm really happy to hear about robots replacing humans as caregivers. Just this week, I found out about elder abuse happening to one of my aged family members. Maybe robots would be a better solution for caregiving. That's Doris in the Carthay neighborhood, 866-893-KPCC. John, in Studio City, good to have you with us. What would you think of having a robot caregiver?
I would accept it. I'm in my 70s, but I'm a early adopter of technology. And I generally am real interested in technology, but I think that I would be kind of freaked out by a robot caregiver, but it would be inevitable, only because I think our elderly population is going to grow so fast and so few people will be willing to serve as caregivers of the elderly.
But you think you'll be able to get over that hump of accepting it after initially maybe a difficult transition?
I think I could. I think there would be moments of terror.
Yeah.
But in time, I think it would just be, yeah, that's the way the new world is.
John, I appreciate it. 866-893-KPCC. Brian in Glendale. Brian, I understand you're currently being treated for prostate cancer. What do you think of this?
Hopefully I won't get to the point where I will need palliative care, but if that is in the cards for me, I think I would rather have a robot than have to hire a service that just sends in somebody I don't know, and then, you know, have them to have to take me to the bathroom or to bathe me or other things like that. That would be more demeaning to me personally. I would welcome the chance to be able to have a robot. I think that would take a lot of the negativity out of that aspect of the whole process.
Yeah, and I think there are a lot of people who would feel that way about it, that it the sense of vulnerability, the sense of sort of, you know, privacy being intruded on, and caregivers, of course, try and avoid you know, raising that, but it's an issue for many people. Brian, thanks so much, and we wish you all the best, and are counting on you having full recovery from prostate cancer. Thank you so much. Stacy in West LA, looking at it from the other side, says her biggest concern would be privacy with robot caregivers. How would you be able to determine that the robot isn't able to be hacked, isn't vulnerable in some way? And Seagal, I find that interesting because both of those, are significant privacy issues.
Yeah, I think both these listeners are raising great points, and you can already just see in these two comments how complex and nuanced an issue it is. Certainly, as a first listener, Brian said, there are a lot of people who really value their autonomy and their independence, and so not having to rely on another person to bathe them, for example, is really a blessing. There are other people who hold maybe a bit higher the value of not being surveilled or hacked, let's say. And, you know, there are concerns raised about some types of robots in terms of surveillance. You know, as early as 2002, robots that were designed to look like teddy bears were put in Japanese retirement homes, and they would watch over the residents, and whenever someone left their bed, they would alert the staff.
Creepy.
It's a little bit creepy when you consider that the senior might forget there's a robot there watching and reporting on their every move.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I understand why for the staff that worked well, it creeps me out if I were a resident of one of those nursing facilities. Seagal, thank you very much for being with us and talking about your reporting on robots and their role with older Americans. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Take care.
Appreciate it. She writes for Vox on artificial intelligence and tech ethics. Seagal Samuel with us on Air Talk. Fresh Air with Terry Gross comes up next. I know it's going to be a fascinating conversation with Scott Carlson of the Chronicle of Higher Education about how colleges, students, and parents are dealing with the pandemic. Take 2 with A. Martinez coming up at 2 this afternoon. Have a great day.